We're happy to make podcasts available for selected EdWebinars for your listening pleasure. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.
As we start our webinar titled Increasing Accessibility and Fostering Inclusive Classrooms. And my name is Missy Green, and I'm the Director of Strategic Partnerships at CETA. And through our wonderful partnerships with EdWeb and also with Microsoft, we're able to bring you this webinar today, this professional learning webinar today, to learn about what inclusive classrooms are, what accessibility looks like, and present some real life examples. So I think this is going to be really, really a wonderful opportunity to learn. And I'd like to give a little plug for our community. CETA has sponsors, a digital content community. It's absolutely free to join. We have lots of resources on there. That's a time to ask questions and do follow up after a webinar like this. So as I mentioned, the recordings will be there. You can download slides, you can join on online discussions, and sometimes our presenters post free resources for you to check out following the webinar. So you always want to give that a look. And the link for the digital content community is right there on the screen. So I'd like to introduce our presenters now. So Mike Tholfsen is from Microsoft, and he's Principal Product Manager on the education team there. And again, we at CETA are thankful for their partnership. Mike's passionate about education, and that will be evident in his presentation today. I think you'll learn a lot from Mike. And he's been regularly working with students and teachers around the world and over the past 10 years to create products and improve student outcomes. And that's really a mission that he holds near and dear. I'd like to introduce also Lauren Pittman. She's going to be one of our presenters today, and she is a special ed teacher with 12 years experience working with students. She's a graduate of Berry College in Rome, and she holds a degree in early childhood education and certifications in both general and special education and adaptive special education. She also has an ESOL and math endorsement, so she really does it all. Lauren travels around the country presenting at schools and conferences on the importance of inclusion and how to leverage technology, and she's going to share her experience and her wisdom with her today. And there's Lauren's Twitter handle also, so you can give a shout out to Lauren on Twitter. And then finally, Beth Boudica is the Senior Manager of Content Development for Insight to Execution. She's a former elementary school teacher too, so she brings a lot of experience and perspective to these events and to our webinar today. So she's a Minecraft trainer and a Microsoft educator community. Oh, Microsoft Innovative Educator. Sorry there, Beth. Prior to this, she worked as a curriculum and instructional designer at Dreambox, and she's got a master's degree in curriculum and instruction, educational technology. So I cannot think of a more qualified crew to teach us all today about ways to increase accessibility and foster inclusive classrooms. And just before I turn it over, I just want to say just a word about CETA. That we're a nonprofit membership association, and we serve digital learning leaders across the country. And so if you want more information on our partnership programs or events or our resources, you can go to CETA.org, or you can contact edweb.net and they can help connect you with us. So without further ado, I'd love to turn this over to Mike, and let's learn about ways to increase accessibility. Thanks, Mike.
Great, thank you. And I just wanted to make sure, can people hear me right now? Are you able to hear me okay or not? You can hear me good. Okay, thanks, Beth. Just wanted to make sure. So my name is Mike Tholfsen, and I work on the education team. And also, just I'll put it in the beginning and we'll have it at the end, but the entire presentation that you'll be seeing today, you can get at this link. So if you screenshot this link or copy it down, it's good to know that everything you're going to see in this presentation today is available publicly. You can share it with other educators. You can share it in your community. You can share it with your friends and neighbors even. And with that said, so I work at Microsoft on inclusive classrooms, and I work on the product team. And in general, just as a high level, the way that we think about inclusion Our mission itself is very inclusive in Microsoft Education. It is to empower every person on the planet to achieve more. And our education mission is to empower every student on the planet to achieve more. And the words every and the word empower are both very inclusive words. And so we build that into everything that we do about empowerment and inclusion, including education itself. Now, just a background on a large-scale study that was done just a couple of years ago. This is a state that I'm sure many people realize in the United States. This is a survey of 14,000 teachers. And this is the data that came back. Almost three-quarters of classrooms have four or more reading levels. Almost three-quarters of classrooms have special education students mainstreamed into the general education population. Over half of classrooms have one or more non-native speakers or English learners or English language learners. And then on the flip side, it's estimated that up to half of educator time in the classroom can be spent managing diverse needs, whether it's differentiation or whether it is individualization or whether it's assistive technology. It's a lot of time spent to be able to work across all these different diverse student needs. And so that's where we think we could help. And again, just at the very high level, the way that we think about inclusion across the Microsoft platform is students gaining independence and how can they grow their their potential and gain independence? How can educators reach every learner? And then at a system level, at a district level, how can we help schools with their reputations around mainstream inclusion and accessibility and being able to reach every learner, but also being compliant? Maybe there's local compliance or federal compliance. And our platforms, you're going to hear me talk about this today, built-in, mainstream, non-stigmatizing, and free. And that's something that's really important because with the Microsoft platform, when these capabilities are built in and mainstream, they can help everyone. They'll help the people and the students who need them the most, but they'll also help all sorts of students that maybe you wouldn't think normally might use these technologies. We believe with the inclusive design, they can help. And I'm just going to let both Lauren and Beth, curious your thoughts just on the overall your students and educators and the overall system and how you think about inclusion from your perspectives.
I think inclusion has a new definition now along with accessibility. It used to be about accessing a place, and now it's more about accessing learning and curriculum content and their own understanding. So these tools help to foster that in a way that's engaging and accessible for all students, but also goes about building that confidence and that inner spirit to achieve more.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it on the head, Mike, when you said that it's all about inclusion. If you can't see what someone needs and you don't, it's not an obvious disability, and it's something that can be addressed for everyone, like it's just great to offer it to everybody because then it's right there. So many of the issues in classrooms today are invisible. We don't know, and or maybe we haven't addressed it yet, and even just personal preference for certain things. A lot of these tools are really helpful for making sure it's just there. It's just there for everybody. Nobody has to ask specially for it. It's already included in the tools and the things that we already have.
Yeah. And actually, the other thing about inclusion, so this is, I'm going to talk about accessibility here. But when we think about inclusion, that can mean accessibility in the classic sense. That could mean things like equity, where students who can afford internet at home versus students that can't afford internet at home. It might mean non-native speakers or English language learners. It might mean how do we include the parents of the non-native speakers? Because they're often not included in the school community because of the language barrier. And we'll talk about all those things today. This slide here really focuses on accessibility. And this is how Microsoft as a company breaks down accessibility, and we won't be covering all of these today. We'll be digging a little bit more into learning as well as some neurodiversity topics. But in general, our company is highly focused on accessibility and making it accessible to everyone. And there's a great link here, this accessibility sway down at the bottom. If you want to see a beautiful put together sort of A to Z through every single category on this slide and all the free capabilities that your district probably has and might not know about, then this is a great link to check out. So I would encourage people, that accessibility sway is a great one, again, to share across the board. And when we talk about inclusive classroom as a concept today, anyways, we're going to be digging into these four topics: reading, writing, math, and then communication. And we're going to start with reading, because across the board, reading is one of those things that really unlocks everything else in education. And again, many people on this call probably know that already. And so reading, if you don't have a handle on reading by third or fourth grade, there's many studies that show life outcomes go downwards in many circumstances. And that's just based on the data and the research, because if you can't access literacy, then you're going to have a lot of other challenges with the rest of education, because it all depends on literacy. And so we're going to start with reading. Now, we're going to be talking a lot about dyslexia today and a lot about reading to start anyways. And some of you might be curious, why is Microsoft on this call talking about dyslexia? You know, he has a special education teacher with Lauren and Beth. Why are they going into this space, or why are they talking about it? And this is one where just the background might be interesting for people who maybe you have a view of Microsoft that exists from the year 2011. A lot of people do. That's okay. This is a more modern Microsoft view. And that a few years ago, we worked on something that's called a hackathon, where anyone in the company can work on any project they want for a week. It's a lot like Genius Hour, but for grownups. So a bunch of us worked together. We had a speech pathologist, we had accessibility experts, we had reading PhD experts, we had researchers, we had education team members and engineers. And we said, what if we took the latest science and research around reading, but we focused inclusively on dyslexia? And the hypothesis was that if you help develop techniques around dyslexia and reading, that will likely benefit many, many other people well beyond dyslexia. And so that's what you're going to see today. We took this little experiment from a few years ago, and we worked with educators like Lauren, you'll see later, and Beth and their students, and many, many other teachers and students around the world. And we've developed something that it's called the Immersive Reader. And so I'm going to share my screen now. Give me just a moment. And I'm going to turn off my video camera, and I think the three of us will when we share the screen, so you can see the screen a little bit bigger. But give me just a second here. And I'm going to share my screen. And you should be able to all see my screen now. And I'm here. I've pulled up a browser, and I'm in something called, you've probably heard of it, Microsoft Word. Hopefully people have heard of that. What you might not know is there is a free web-based version of Microsoft Word. It's free to any student, any parent, any teacher, any administrator. It's free in a browser, works on Chromebooks, works on PCs, works on Macs, works anywhere. So the free web-based version of Word. And here I am, I'm going to the View tab in Word, right here. And there's a button called the Immersive Reader. So what I'm gonna do, I'm on the View tab in Word, I'm gonna click this Immersive Reader, and I'm going to talk through the types of things that you're seeing. So first off, you can see that I've abstracted all the text and all the UI, so I just can focus on the content. There's a play button down at the bottom, and I'm going to hit play, and you'll see text-to-speech.
The study of Earth's landforms is called physical geography. Landforms can be mounted.
So that is built in. It's not revolutionary, text-to-speech, but this is now part of mainstream free Word. Built-in, mainstream, non-stigmatizing, and free. I can change the voice speed, faster or slower. I can choose a male or female voice, pretty standard things. I can also change the way the page looks. So from research, there's something called visual crowding. And we know that some people experience visual crowding. And we know that for some people, when you increase the spacing between the lines and the letters and the words, it reduces visual crowding. So if I click this increased spacing right here, you can see with a single click, I can increase all the spacing on the page. I can choose a different font. I've chosen Comic Sans, which is actually popular with younger readers in the way that the letters are drawn, and it's the way that letters are written in earlier ages. I can change background colors. So some people prefer different background colors when they read. Not everyone likes to read with a white background, and these are tuned specifically for accessibility. So it's really easy for me to personalize the way that that content looks in the background. I can also make the text size in the upper right. I'm going to scroll this little widget, and I can make the text much bigger. So this would be short line mode, just a couple of words per line. Think about visual impairments. Think about English language learners. Think about students with dyslexia who just want to see a few words per line. All of these things work. But those are just changing the way the page looks. Now we're going to get into some of the fun stuff. So one of the techniques that many educators use is breaking words into syllables. Maybe you take sticky notes and help break words into syllables one at a time. Very time consuming and very stigmatizing for the student. So using our cloud service, with a single click in the upper right on syllables, I click that and it breaks all the words into syllables with a single click. If I want to highlight all the nouns on the page, parts of speech, I click nouns and it highlights the nouns in blue. I can highlight the verbs. I can highlight the adjectives with a single click, even adverbs, because adverbs don't get enough respect in this world. And so we're giving respect to adverbs. Now I can also, if I have a monochromaticism, I can't detect any colors, or maybe I'm colorblind, I can click show labels and put a little symbolic label, noun, adjectives, right above those parts of speech. I can change colors. So maybe in the book that I use, nouns are in purple. It's very easy to personalize that content in ways that work best for you. So you can see here, students can personalize really easily. We have kindergartners, first graders, second graders, sixth graders, eighth graders, college students, all personalized in a way that works best for you. There's no right way. I'm just using Word. Now, the other thing we have is something called, if those of you familiar with reading rulers, and that's where you might cover up a page with a little cutout, a rectangle, and you slap it on top of the page, and a student would move that down the page one line at a time to help focus the eyes. So think about ADHD. We have students with cerebral palsy who might use this, dyslexic students or early readers. If I go here, I can click, single click, and get line focus. So what that means is now I can have my own reading ruler. I can play it out loud. So my eyes are in the same line.
Landforms are sometimes called physical features.
I can scroll it manually with these little arrows on the right-hand side, moving that ruler. I can choose three lines. I can choose five lines. It's up to me to personalize in a way that works best. Now, we also have the ability to have a picture dictionary. So I click on the word Earth, and look, I get a picture, and I can read that out loud.
Earth, Earth, Earth.
Or geography.
Geography, geography.
Or seasons.
Seasons.
So the picture, picture dictionary is built right in. Now, lastly, for English language learners, we have the ability to translate. So I've got over 60 languages in here. I've just chosen Spanish. And I'll start with by word. So I turned it on by word. So now when I click on Earth, I get both.
Earth.
And I can hear it in Spanish.
Tierra. Earth. Tierra.
So very powerful.
Seasons. Estaciones.
Think about your English language learners. Or think about students with dyslexia who are also non-native speakers. That's a double whammy. This can help. If I choose the entire document, what happens now is the entire document is translated, and I can go, everything translates. So syllables, nouns, verbs, adjectives, text to speech.
Las estaciones, la atmósfera y todos los procesos naturales de la tierra afectan a donde las...
Everything changes. And at the up, the top, I can have Spanish or original. So here's English, and I click on Spanish and it flips back. So it's really easy to access text at this point. And again, this is just part of Word Online, which is free. It's also part of OneNote Online, which is free. It's part of Teams. It's part of Outlook. It's part of Flipgrid. It's in many, many places. The other thing that we like to show in OneNote, where you want to go even further, and OneNote is like our digital binder. So a free digital binder that many schools are using, but when you put a picture into OneNote, you might say, I have a picture or content. I can print or put any picture into OneNote. Here's a picture from the Harry Potter book. And we run optical character recognition automatically. So I'm here in OneNote, and I choose View Immersive Reader. And everything on that page is now accessible. Let's increase the spacing. Let's break the syllables. Let's highlight the nouns. Let's even translate Harry Potter into Spanish. from the picture because, hey, that's fun to do. And now I'm going to read back some Harry Potter in Spanish from that picture. So here we go.
Su progreso, su cabeza girando sobre su cuello largo.
So what you're seeing here is universal access of content just from a picture. And I can have it in any language. I can read it out loud. And so what we're doing is we're trying to bring these across the board into many, many areas to make these free and built in. So it's in Word Online, it's in OneNote, it's in Outlook. And in this PowerPoint deck, we have all the places it is. We've even built some of these capabilities into the web browser. So this is the free version of the Edge browser in Windows 10. So if your district has Windows 10, you already have this. You might not know it. I can open up any web page. Here's Wikipedia, and I can right-click on Wikipedia and choose Read Aloud.
The Colosseum could hold, it is estimated, between 50,000 and 80,000 spectators.
So that's built in to any web page using the Edge browser part of Windows 10. I can right-click on any PDF.
Leveling the playing field with Microsoft Learning Tools.
Any PDF can be read in the Edge browser. The Edge browser reads PDF files. I can read aloud and access any content in an EPUB file. We even have it for websites like where you have news. Here's a Los Angeles Times article in the Edge browser with lots of ads and things that are flashing at me. In the upper right-hand corner in Edge, just like on your iPad, there's this little reading view button. If you see this little button here, if I click reading view, we will abstract all the text on the page. And so now I can do all those same things, text spacing, read aloud, highlight the verbs and the nouns, and it's all built into the Edge browser. When I say built-in, mainstream, and non-stigmatizing, this is the type of things we're talking about. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go back and let Lauren and Beth talk a little bit about what they've been seeing in their classrooms, because I'll let Lauren tell her story a little bit of what she's seen with the Immersive Reader and her students, as well as Beth, and then we'll show you some results and efficacy of some of the things that we've done. So Lauren, I will turn it back over to you, and then Beth, you're free to talk as well.
Fantastic. Yes. So my classroom was a resource reading classroom. So my students were anywhere from a kindergarten level up to an end of second grade level. I think one thing that tends to be overlooked is the students' internal need to kind of be present and be there on their own. A lot of these students have relied on either peers or teachers in order to access their own learning. And with these tools, they're able to access their own. Of the students that are actually in that picture, four of them were able to go from resource to co-taught, and then three of them were able to exit SPED altogether, which is the goal of special education, is to have these students be successful in any type of setting, whether it's a resource room, a co-taught room, or in just a general education setting as well. And watching them be able to access text, be excited about reading, be excited about sharing. To me, that is the purpose of inclusion, is to be able to allow them that access. The other great thing was that when they weren't with me in that reading room, whether it was math or science and social studies, they were able to take these tools with them because they are free and available in all of the products. So instead of having to take a small group out into the hallway to read a science passage and the questions, they were actually able to work in peer groups or work with partners, which is something they hadn't been able to do before, because without being able to access the text, they weren't really able to contribute to discussions, to contribute to kind of that group mentality of working together. And so they really blossomed in the span of just a couple of months, because now they were an equal partner in not only their own learning, but in the learning of others in those group settings.
Beth, did you want to talk to some of the things that you've seen, whether it's training or in classrooms?
Sure. Except my favorite piece, Mike, we haven't talked about yet, which is Office Lens.
Oh, yeah.
So that's definitely one of my students' favorite items. Snap a picture and be able to read it in Immersive Reader is super, super helpful. And also the writing piece is, We haven't gotten there yet. We'll get there. But that's definitely my favorite, with the verbs, turning the verbs on and being able to identify that. There's some decoding, you know, it can be helpful for decoding also to be able to understand or have that hint of what type of word it is. So the parts of speech can be really helpful. And even just giving the empowerment to the kids of what background color do you like? You know, let's make a choice, especially the kids that are really reluctant to read. You know, they're doing something maybe they are not interested in doing, or they have an aversion to it. And then you give them this opportunity and choice. Not quite the same as making your own avatar, but it's, you know, it's a choice. It's a choice they can make to make it easier for them to read. So all these options are helpful for them.
Oh, and student agency is so important, giving them the power to drive their own learning in their own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen that a lot where it's, I mean, your students have seen it too, I know, Lauren, where it's the combination of the confidence and the non-stigmatization and the technology support starts a little positive feedback loop kicking in. And so we often hear stories about that, where it's not that the technology is magically doing everything. It's just that it gives them enough support to kickstart the positive feedback loop that then can kick off on its own.
Well, and a lot of them, it's the confidence of being able to listen to a text that the teacher might ask a question about and being able to raise their hand, you know, and supply that answer, where before they may have shied away or not have been as engaged in that conversation.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do now is, Lauren has a brief starring role, but it's mostly the kids. I'm going to show, there's a 1 minute video that was made to show some of the impact that these tools have had in the classroom. And the broader category that we talk about is learning tools, but the immersive reader is sort of the key part here. So I'm going to play a 1 minute video, and we'll make sure hopefully this plays, but you'll see Lauren's students here.
The true purpose of education is to create possibility.
It was a little hard for me. People laugh whenever I read sometimes.
Well, they knew how to read, and I didn't.
I will never be good at reading. I will probably be held back again.
It highlights the words that know where I am.
When it's reading, I see spaces between the words.
And it's easy to focus on.
The first time I actually could read that book, I was proud of myself.
I was very proud of myself.
Good job, Joey.
When technology and education come together, possibility becomes reality.
I want to read every book in here.
So that was Lauren's classroom. And yeah, that's some pretty amazing impact. And we're seeing stories like that from all over the world right now. It's not just Lauren's class, and it's not just the United States, you know, Argentina, Europe, Asia, Africa. We're seeing it all over the world. These are just some of the, actually, Lauren, you can speak to this. You created the slot, you created the charts, but some of the reading speed measurements in Lauren's classroom for IEP programs.
So these graphs, you can see, they all had a fluency goal. And so we're talking about correct words per minute. And part of the struggle with fluency is being able to find something, whether it be a way of teaching or having students practice, that will increase that fluency. And so you can see where at the beginning of the year they were somewhat variable in their scores, and we hadn't quite either leveled out or made forward progress. But after we started using the immersive reader and they were able to access text, and one of the big things is that while they were using the reader, the use of sight words, so turning on all the nouns, adjectives, and all that, but isolating the sight words and being able to see that they are important, seeing them highlighted, seeing them read while the reader was going, really helped to increase that fluency there, but also in a lot of those word patterns and vowel teams and things that can be confusing. And so after we started using the immersive reader, you can see where not only did variability start to limit, but we also started to see a forward progress towards that goal.
Yes, and it wasn't just Lauren's class. We also worked with the British Dyslexia Association and a school for dyslexia in the United Kingdom. And we saw that comprehension scores improved in many cases. And we've also seen much older kids using it. And this is an eighth grader, but we've seen high schoolers. We've seen college level students. We've seen emerging readers in first grade using the tools. And we've seen practicing sight words, like Lauren said. This is in Kentucky, a first grader practicing with sight words. And this is interesting. This is a students with autism. And this is an interesting scenario we heard about from some educators that we didn't initially design for this. But she said her students in second and third grade, her autistic students, their comprehension and reading was going up dramatically. But the reason, she said, was that in the past, when the students would come across words they didn't know, they might get up, leave their chair, go to the teacher, ask about the word, come back to their chair and forget where they were in the passage. So what they're often doing now is using that line focus feature to just focus on one or three lines. And when they're finding words they didn't know, they would click on the word or touch the word and get the picture dictionary and stay in flow and continue to read. So instead of getting out of flow, coming back and forgetting where they were, these students are able to stay in that flow and be more independent, which is leading to higher reading comprehension scores in these classrooms.
Mm-hmm. There was a great comment on here from, I think, Susan, that with this ability, because it's this blank slate of either Word or OneNote, teachers can control the content. So you can really individualize the content that students are reading. If you have students working on a certain vowel pattern, students working on different sets of sight words, you could drop that in there. And I mean, really, they could be reading this in any of the content that you happen to be working on.
Absolutely.
So it's a great point, Susan. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, with something like OneNote class notebooks or with Teams, you can individualize assignments, just like you said. So I can distribute a Word mm-hmm. document here to three people and level something different to these kids, or distribute the same thing to the whole class, but different kids use different tools that are built in. So yes, there's absolutely that ability to differentiate and individualize. The last study I'll talk about is maybe the most interesting. And we did this with a third-party research company, RTI International. We worked with fourth grade students, sixth through eighth grade, 10th grade, and it was in the general education population. And so this was really about, let's see what happens with the general education. This is not dyslexia, this is not autism, this is not English language learners, this is just, well, it's probably a mix of everything all at once. And we saw that reading comprehension scores improved, writing improved, non-cognitive processes improved. There's a 30-page report. I'm not going to go into all the details today, but the link is here, and I believe they just pasted it into the chat window, the EdWeb team. But we saw a 10-point average comprehension score improvement in fourth graders. And this is only over a period of about 3 months. We also had some great quotes where it says, this is an empowering tool. It allows them to feel more independent, not depending on the teacher, not depending on peers, which is what you would expect with this type of tool. Like, we've seen a lot more independence and teacher gets more time back because the students can personalize. But the part that I actually personally am most excited about was this quote. If you think back to that inclusive design that we took on this, or, you know, UDL, Universal Design for Learning, nearly all of the study teachers mentioned that learning tools enable their readers, regardless of skill level, to access content aimed at a higher reading level. It's helping all students. We didn't design it for that, but we designed it in a way that we hoped it would help all students because those techniques are universal. So this is a great sort of pointing towards it helps everyone. So that's a great part of that study. I'm not going to go through all these updates here. There's one thing I am going to show that's quite powerful that I'd love to share, which is the dyslexia awareness curriculum that we partnered with. But safe to say, we are adding more and more capabilities to more and more of the Office and Windows platforms. The part that I want to show is the bottom link, this link right here, the aka.ms, the mech made by dyslexia. I'm going to share my screen again. So we partnered with the leading nonprofit called Made by Dyslexia, Richard Branson's organization. For those of you that are familiar with Richard Branson, probably one of the world's most famous dyslexics, Microsoft partnered with Made by Dyslexia, and we created a course because it turns out in the United States, in the world, vast majority of educators and parents and administrators don't know a ton about dyslexia. Some people do, but most don't. A lot of people think about it as something from the 1980s, maybe flipping B's and D's. I never had teacher training on this, and so I don't exactly know all the details about it. And what does that even mean if someone is dyslexic? So this is an hour-long course, but we've got people like Richard Branson. It's kind of star-studded to help make it engaging, but it's a free course. And these are 5-minute videos and modules. You know, what is dyslexia? Dyslexic strengths with Orlando Bloom. Dyslexic thinking skills. Keira Knightley, another very famous dyslexic. Indicators of dyslexia, dyslexic challenges. Famous UK ballerina talking about the inclusive classroom and dyslexia. Famous rocket scientist, literally, Marie Adrian Pocock from the UK. And it's a really easy way, just spending an hour. We've had many parents, and you've probably talked to parents who will say, you know, my child was just diagnosed with dyslexia. I don't know what it is. How do I learn more about it? You know, a lot of people will get thrown into a situation where they're not quite sure. So this is a free available course to anyone. And it's pretty lightweight. It's just an hour, but we're really trying to help spread dyslexia awareness in schools and different districts, because we found there wasn't enough easily consumable mainstream information out there. And so we wanted to make this available. So I did want to share that with everyone.
Oh, actually, and, you know, there's a lot of teachers who actually come out of school and are still very unaware about depending on what country or college you're in, there's a lot of teachers who feel unequipped to help students with dyslexia. And with all the latest research coming out, this was a real helpful way to just lightly touch at what it is. And it's more than just flipping letters. It's actually a process of thinking and the construct in the brain. And so this is something that we hope a lot of principals or teachers will take the time to either do it on their own or at a staff meeting, or just become aware of it because you're interested in it, which would be great.
Yeah, and actually Beth and her team helped develop this, and so it's been great. We've had pretty amazing feedback so far, and this course has been very, very popular because there's just not a lot of great information about there. So if someone wants to, you know, make sure to put the link into the chat window. It's also available in the deck itself. But I wanted to make sure I showed that dyslexia awareness course that we put together. And we'll pop back in. So now we're going to go back, and the last couple of areas we're going to start moving through, if we want to pop the PowerPoint back there, Missy or Regina, who has the – there we go. So now we're going to talk about I'm going to move right ahead here. Actually, all the places it's available, we call this the periodic table of learning tools, which has reading, writing, math. It's quite fun. But if you want an official flyer, like for PD sessions of, hey, all the places, the immersive reader or dictation, which we'll talk about, and word prediction, everything is on this nice little periodic table of learning tools, which is nice and handy. But next, we're going to move to writing. And we won't spend as much time on writing as we did reading. But the idea is reading, writing, math, and communication. So writing, this is from the School for Dyslexia, from the headmaster. Our pupils all pretty much without exception hate writing. Learning tools transform writing for our pupils. This is a picture of a 9-year-old boy, dyslexic, from the school. The highlighted words in blue are what he was able to write. The idea was a 100-word essay. And it's not that he didn't have the ideas. He's dyslexic and dysgraphic in this case. And getting them out was quite challenging. And it's sometimes useful to see. If you haven't seen papers like this in a while, it's quite obvious where the challenges are. Using our tools independently, built in, he was able to produce this on his own. And similarly, this is an 11-year-old girl at the same school, sort of the before and the after, able to get the content out. And so what we really want to think about is, what are writing tools built in, mainstream, non-stigmatizing, of what we can do? And even things like spell checking and getting feedback on errors, and how do I tackle everything on the page at once? And, you know, I have 100 red squiggly lines, and maybe that's overwhelming. And so all of these things, we're going to start showing how we're bringing this into our writing tools. So I'm going to share my screen again and just show some examples of where we're building these in, the tools that you might not already know are there. So first off, we're in our good friend Word desktop, you know, plain Jane Word that you've probably heard of for a long time. We now have built-in dictation, speech to text. So if I'm on the home tab, and this is the Office 365 version of Word, I can dictate speech to text, and it's high quality. It's basically some of the top speech to text in the world, and it's built into Word. It's also built into PowerPoint. So here I'm in PowerPoint, and there's a dictate button. It's built into OneNote. I'm on OneNote, there's dictation. It's built into Outlook. So even you can dictate your emails now in Outlook. It's also built into the web version of Word. So if you're on Chromebooks, or if you only use a browser, this free web version of Word has dictation right there. Speech to text, built in, mainstream, non-stigmatizing, and free. It's also in OneNote in the web, and it's coming to PowerPoint in the web in just about a month or so. So we're bringing this across all of our platforms. Now, the other thing is spell checking, you might not have thought has gotten interesting in the last, 20 years. Well, spell check just got a major facelift. So I'm going to go to the review tab in Word, and there's the boring old spell checker that you probably didn't think much about. I'm going to click check document, and you're going to see this brand new thing on the right hand called editor. This is inclusive design. It's going to help everyone, but it's really going to help people dyslexic, dysgraphic, mobility impairments, ADHD. So first off, you can see it groups all my spelling errors. So now I have three spelling errors. Now I click here and it highlights the spelling error and jumps me to that part of the document. And it pulls out the content right over here. Then I can hit, read aloud right here.
In principle, many people depend on the rainforest for their living, but it must be used in a sustainable way.
So I can read it out loud. It pulls out the suggestions and gives me more context. So instead of just giving me three choices for contiguous, I get all three, contiguous, contagious, continuous, and I can read them aloud. I can jump to the next part of the document. So with these little arrows here, it allows me to focus on the content. It breaks out the spelling errors. I can have read aloud, and I get context. Same thing with grammar errors. There's four grammar errors. I drill in, and it takes me to the first grammar error. It highlights it. It pulls it out on the side where I can read aloud. I can get the context. Simple things maybe for you and me, but struggling students, this is hugely helpful. And it allows me to really focus on the content and not getting lost in the document of where I am, or I can't read it out loud, or I don't have context. But now we have new categories, new refinements that we've added with editor here. Clarity and conciseness. I know I could use this myself, but I bet I know some seventh grade writers could use it too. Instead of make a decision, I could say decide or plan. And I can jump and get feedback on clarity and conciseness in my document. Maybe gender neutral language or informal language. Maybe I'm saying fireman and policeman all the time, and I could say firefighter or police officer. So with our next generation language processing, we're able to give many more tips and context to the document that you're in that the old school spell checker just couldn't give. And again, this is just built into Word. It's rolling out into the web version of Word in the next month or two. So this is coming free in the web very soon. So dictation is built in, next generation editor. The other thing that we've added in Windows 10 is lightweight word prediction. So in Windows 10, in settings, and you don't need to memorize this because this is all in the deck and everything here is documented online as well. But if I want to have word prediction, and this is lightweight word prediction, Don Johnston word prediction is high quality and amazing and advanced. If your student needs that, they should keep using that. But this is for very lightweight word prediction, show text suggestions as I type. I can flip a switch in Windows 10 now, and this is in across 75 languages, not just English. So if I go into my Word document and I type typing, it pops up little word prediction suggestions on anywhere in Word or PowerPoint or even Notepad, anywhere in my Edge browser that I type, I type text in Windows and it pops up word prediction. So very lightweight, but very helpful. And again, built-in, mainstream, non-stigmatizing, and free. So those are just a real quick tour of some of the writing capabilities. But those, again, are just built-in and part of the platform. And so we're making that available at scale. I'm going to stop screen share briefly. And as we pull the deck back up, Lauren and Beth, if you want to comment on some of the writing things, because I know you've had experience here, I'd love to hear your feedback.
Dictation is one of my favorite features. I had a sweet student who had spent 30 minutes trying to write a story about a cat and a parrot. And after 30 minutes, she had only typed out the words, the cat and parrot. She was really struggling with processing the writing, checking for the spelling, getting her ideas out all at once. And so we switched over to dictation, and I said, just write your story using your voice. And not but 15 minutes later, she brought me an entire paragraph about the story of the parrot and the cat. And as Mike and Beth know, I'm super emotional, so I cried, you know, because she was able to share what she wanted to in a way that was accessible for her. I think a lot of times with writing, students have these wonderful things to say through the written word, but they're kind of stuck within their own mind because it takes a lot to be able to come up with your idea, get it ready to process out through either writing or typing, being able to make sure that you have correct spelling and punctuation and all those things that come with being a writer. And so dictation allows them to really share their thoughts and be able to access it just quickly and easily. The great thing too is that the editor being able to isolate that content helps a lot with me being able to have a writing conference with a student and say, okay, well, let's really focus on how we're spelling words that have ADLE. And there may be a couple in there that they worked on, or we really need to work on when is punctuation supposed to happen in this sentence. And so we can isolate and work on those skills, but still have that really rich writing conversation, but it be more about things we need to focus on rather than trying to look at the overall picture of the writing.
Oh, and I just love the idea that you can dictate all in the same window. How many schools are spending money on an additional subscription for dictation features that... I know one student in particular who gets lost. The window is somewhere else and he's trying to copy and paste it over to his Word document and just gets confused between where everything lives. So it's all right there in one spot. Not only can you dictate it, but then you can view it in Immersive Reader and play it back, because that is where oftentimes students see, you know, I love highlighting the verbs. They see that they use the word run over and over and over and over again. All the verbs are the same verb, or sometimes adjectives can be, I don't know about the adverbs yet. You have to try that, Mike, but definitely being able to see some of the repetition when kids get stuck in their word choice, and just even to hear it back that they completely missed a period there, or they have a run on, they can use more concise language, just hearing it back almost all the time they find something that they have written that they'd like to change. So I think that's just a great feature that it's all in the same screen as well. No more losing windows.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I've got a quote up here from another educator we work with about editor and how really helping get past the frustration and focusing on the content. And so we see that a lot. Mm-hmm. The last two topics I'm going to, and these will be shorter, but I think they're quite powerful. This is a newer one, so inclusive math. And this is related to Immersive Reader in OneNote, but there's some new things here. So challenges with students, maybe it's visual crowding, maybe it's ADHD in math, so focusing and attention, could be dyscalculia or mobility impairments. So we're gonna show some things in OneNote in particular around Immersive Reader and math and solver and step-by-step that are quite powerful. So I'm gonna share my screen again. And I'm going to show some of these things in math. So let me go to my demo. So first off, I'm going to go, here's an equation. So OneNote supports inking, digital writing. And it could be text equations, but it's more fun with digital. So I'm going to select my equation. And I'm going to go to the Draw tab and hit Math. So first off, you can see it has the ink to math, which is, we've had that for a long time. I can also select an action. So I'm going to say solve for R. And it actually solves the equation, but I want to show the steps. So I'm going to say, show the steps using the quadratic formula. And you can see it actually has the steps right here in the pane, which is great. And this is actually controllable for teachers. So if teachers want to disable this, they will be able to. But many teachers want to let the students do those steps. But now let's see. This could be very dense. There's a lot of words and equations. If I have visual crowding or if I'm dyslexic, there's a lot going on in here. So you'll notice there's a nice little immersive reader button right here. If I click that, you're going to see all of that equation now in the immersive reader. So maybe I want to do something like line focus. Maybe I want to make the background blue. Maybe I want a picture dictionary on subtraction, maybe in Spanish.
Reste. Subtract.
But now I'm going to read this out loud, and I'm just going to hit the play button.
This equation is in standard form, ax squared plus bx plus c equals 0. Substitute pi for a, 0 for b, and minus cap a for c in the...
So this is inclusive math. I can now really focus on the content. I can even do translation, all those things. And if I have even complex equations, these are text equations. If I go to that immersive reader, the immersive reader will read all of these out loud and show all these out loud. And if I want to have line focus on some of that, again, it's quite easy to do. So we're just getting started in our inclusive math, but this is something that we're very excited about. And you're going to see more and more coming in this space because there are not enough tools out there to really help with math. Now, the last part, we're getting ready to close up, but this is maybe some of the most fun stuff. And I'm just going to do my PowerPoint from within PowerPoint here. I'm not going to go back to the main console because we're going to see something quite interesting. I'm going to turn on, I hit start from beginning. I want to start from that slide just so you guys have the right part of the deck. Student and parent communication. So what you're going to see now, I'm going to turn this on. This is built into PowerPoint, mainstream PowerPoint. And what you're going to see down at the bottom is me talking in English and then getting translated in real time into Spanish. So if you have PowerPoint, you can real time caption in English, but you can choose to real time translate into up to 60 languages in real time. So think about presenting to large groups of people and being able to caption it for deaf and hard of hearing. Maybe you're presenting to a group of people in a different language. This can all be real-time translated and captioned. Now, beyond just PowerPoint, we have a program called Microsoft Translator that allows multiple language translation. And I'm going to explain this. So it's free in the browser. There's a free iPhone app or an Android app or an iPad app. You can free and install it. And in this case, you have the teacher up in front, or maybe it's an administrator, and all these students are connected with their phones, and they set the language they want, and it reads out on their phone in real time in the language they choose. So that can make classes much more inclusive. But the part that I always talk to districts about, and I almost guarantee there are people on this call who have this challenge, is how do you communicate to the parents of your non-native speakers? We know from research that when you bring in the parents and engage them, that student outcomes improve. So I'll ask a poll, and you don't have to answer, just answer in your head, how is your district engaging the parents of the non-native speakers? If you're like every other group I talk to, the answer is about 99% of you are not, because it's too difficult, or you maybe hire translators, which is expensive. Using Microsoft Translator, this administrator here has had all these parents, 9 languages being spoken in this room. You can see they all have their phones up. He's speaking in English, and it's pushing out his speech to them in real time in 9 languages, and it reads it out on their phone. And when they communicate back to him with their phone, they can type it out in text or they can speak it back. It goes back to him in English. So I push it out in 9 languages. It comes back to me in English. It is amazing to see how this can engage the parents. And it's not just for parent-teacher night. It could be for parent-teacher conferences. This is how many districts across the United States today are communicating in parent-teacher conferences with a mobile device that you can just connect these 2 phones up with Microsoft Translator and speak back and forth. Think about the first time an immigrant family comes to your district in mid-August to the front desk at the district headquarters. How are you communicating with that person and that family? What's your first impression? Because if you use Microsoft Translator, your first impression can be communicating to them in their language, just with a web browser or an iPad, and that front desk person has a little USB microphone, just like I'm using now, just a little headset, they can communicate in that language in real time. It's quite powerful. And guess what? It's all free. So we have an entire website. They pasted it into the link. Education website for PD, for training, how to print out these forms in 100 languages. You could have a stack of 100 pieces of paper, one in each language. So when a new family comes to your district, you hand them a paper on the first day saying, if you speak Vietnamese, here's a Vietnamese explanation on how to download this free app on iPhone or Android and to start being able to join in and communicate. And it's been transformational in the districts that are using it. They're engaging the community in ways that have never been possible. So really excited about that one. And with that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back into the main area and we'll wrap up here. We just got a couple minutes left. And I'll show some slides on how you can get access to this deck and all these free technologies. But just with that, I'll get the deck going. And Lauren and Beth, if you want to talk about some of the translation and inclusion scenarios for communication, and I'll move to the final slide where people can grab the link and URL.
Sure. I just think it's an amazing option, and it looks like everybody else is commenting in the chat as well. What a great resource it is. I know I've used students oftentimes to translate in student conferences, just daily classroom work. And sometimes that can be awkward if you want to talk about the student, especially the elementary level. Well, actually, at any level, using the student as a translator to their parents doesn't always work that well. Or for privacy reasons, using a student or a parent with someone who speaks that same language. I know Translator, it has quite a few languages now. I remember there were a couple of classrooms I were in where we had 11 different languages in the same room, and some of them I had never heard of. I mean, I just had no exposure to that type of language before, and I couldn't find a dictionary at the time that even helped me translate. So this is pretty awesome for that, and also for traveling. It's helpful. I've used it in traveling and trying to clarify my, you know, trying to get around on the public transport and stuff. But Lauren, did you have anything else to add?
Yeah, we actually used both the captions and the mobile device. We had a student who came to us from Hungary, and he only spoke Hungarian, and we didn't have a translator available at the time. But we didn't want him to kind of miss being a part of the class and having conversations. And so what we did was we used we had an iPod cart, and so we uploaded the app to the iPod cart. And he was able to talk back and forth to not only the teachers, but also the students, participate in group discussions. He was able to, you know, access all the content and everything that he needed for class. And so it was great to be able to watch him, you know, still be able to be a part of everything, even though the language was different than the other students in the room.
Yeah, we've just seen amazing results, right? And it's across the district. It actually has brought districts together in ways that they weren't really able to do before in some cases. So just to wrap up, I think there's a great quote. Here's the deck here, but I want to make sure I mention this quote because it's quite relevant. From Merle Matlin, Academy Award winning actress who's also deaf. Great quote is, "No one should have to ask for access. It should just be there." And that's really how we think about this. The Microsoft platform is free. It's available to all. It's built in. The access should just be part of our inclusive platform. And so we want to make it available to everyone. And when it's inclusively designed, it's going to help more than just the people who need it most. It's going to help everyone, is the way that we've been thinking about this. So definitely we're interested in your feedback. We're interested if you want to reach out, ask questions. My email is here. The entire deck is public. We're all on Twitter. And we're definitely in the realm of, we want to listen and learn and improve and make our technology even more inclusive and available to all your students and all your faculty and staff. So really encourage you to reach out and let us know how we can do better and send us feedback. And with that, that's all I have to say. Lauren and Beth, feel free to add your closing words.
Oh, I'm just very thankful for all of you and your everything that you do for students, for the kids in your district, and taking time out of your day to be with us today.
Yeah, and even something as small as a few of these tools that might seem very minor at first they can make Lauren cry. And if they can make Lauren cry, they're going to do some powerful things in your classroom too. So
I see a quote here in the chat. It says, I came, I saw, I cried. So I think we did.
Thank you so much, Mike and Lauren and Beth. We appreciate it. And I just want to put in a final plug to go and join the EdWeb community. It's absolutely free. You'll get the EdWeb recording. You can have your CE certificate. You can get the slides, chat logs, and join an online discussion. So we thank you so much. And we would love to see you back here again. I feel like we have a lot more we could learn from you three. So thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us today.
We hope you enjoyed this EdWeb podcast. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.